Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It is Thursday on a bye week. Packers way far away from the game of football, hopefully enjoying some R&R wherever they are around the country or indeed around the world, hopefully getting away from it and not having to deal with the National Football League for a weekend until they're back at it on Monday at 1265 Lombardi. But you know we don't shut down here at Cheesehead TV. This is what we do, people. We're here for you, Packers fans worldwide, each and every day, 365. It's how we roll. Good to see everybody in the comments. Hope you're all doing well. Before we get going, I did just want to talk a little bit about Jordan Morgan, the Packers' first-round selection, who had been getting intermittent time throughout the course of the season up until this past week when he had to go an entire game against the Detroit Lions. And I think it's fair to say he was inconsistent, but showed a lot of promise. And I think if you go back to the game prior down in Jacksonville, I think that was probably his best game so far in the season. Now, again, thrust into full-time action, you could see there were, you know, especially in pass pro, some moments that he got taken advantage of, and certainly some games and stunts that they played up front, they being the Lions, certainly got him on a few occasions, none worse than the play that ended up as a pick six. Morgan actually has the looping linebacker. He just gets to him just a tick late and probably would have been able to prevent the, you know, the flushing out of the pocket. And hopefully then Love is able to stand in the pocket and hit Reed downfield. But that didn't happen. And it was just, again, just a tick off. And it's not like he missed an assignment or something like that, but he's just a tad late in recognition of what was happening. And those are the things that, you know, you will hopefully see him learn from and get better at as the season goes on. And I think playing that full game is going to pay some monster dividends down the stretch here this season. Obviously also long-term in his career, but I think you can see the physical ability and all the things that the Packers liked about him when they selected him in the first round of this past spring's draft. There's no doubt he's got a ways to go, but man, especially in the run game, you see his almost effortless power and his ability to just seal guys off and create running lanes. It is very impressive. There's a great example on Jacobs' longest run of the day. I believe this was in the second drive where he gets off the double team almost immediately and picks up a linebacker who's trying to shoot the gap, walls him off, and Jacobs is off to the races. There was stuff like that throughout the contest. It's very heartening to see a young guy, you know, obviously it's a first round pick, so there is expectation there. And I do, you know that because he's not playing a sexy position, he's playing guard, you know, he's not getting a lot of run unless he makes a mistake, right? And then people focus on it, talk about it, what have you. But I think if you pull back and actually kind of focus on what he's done when he's on the field so far in his rookie season, you see a young guy who is playing well and playing better as the year goes along. So just something to think about as we head into the bye weekend here. It's a first-round pick that you don't hear a lot about because he doesn't play a whole lot. But the more the season goes on, I think you'll see him more and more. And I think it's also a credit to Sean Ryan that he hasn't been able to, you know, get more playing time because Ryan has played very, very well the last 2 or 3 weeks. So that's all very good. That's a good development for the Packers, without question. Hope you're all doing well. Good to see everybody mixing it up. A shout out to Terry, first person up in here in the chat, joining the Care of the G Club. Terry, I really appreciate the support. Very much appreciated. Thank you so much. Before we get going, got to give a shout out to our friends over at Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy sports made easy. You just select two or more players, pick more or less on their projected stats, and place your entry. Quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, and an enormous selection of players and stat types are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. Go to prizepicks.com and use code CHTV. Spend $5 on lineups and get $50 instantly. You can join in the fun at the link in the description of this video. Remember to use code CHTV. And I hear you. Aaron, where is it available? It's available in 43 different states, including, and most importantly, Wisconsin. That's what I'm talking about. Big game tonight between the Bengals and the Ravens. Here are my picks for the evening. Lamar Jackson, he's going to get another MVP unless we get, you know, Lamar Jackson fatigue. I think he's absolutely going to throw it around the yard against the Bengals over 237.5 passing yards. Henry, I mean, he's averaging 1.7 touchdowns a game, both combined, both rushing and passing. So I don't think there's any doubt Henry's getting in the end zone, no doubt about it. And then you look at Gesicki. They're going to have to lean on him in the passing game. I think he gets more than six targets. Hell, I think you probably get around five or six catches when all is said and done. And finally, Hendrickson's getting to Lamar at one point. And I love that it's 0.25 sacks. Even if he shares a sack, I'm going to hit on this one. So give me Hendrickson getting Jackson on the ground at least one time. There you go. Those are my picks. Send me yours. You guys have been doing great work. You guys are hitting way more than I am. But I love it. I got people sharing their lineups each and every day. Please send me your lineups. Let me see what you got. Don't forget, use code CHTV when you use your prize picks. What's going on, people? We got people super chatting. We got Joe. What's up, Joe? Is the Packers pass rush fixable this year other than bringing more pressure? That's an excellent question, Joe. When you say fixable, I mean, obviously you're talking about getting home with four, right? And the only way to fix that is for guys to start winning one-on-ones. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that this is magically going to happen, that they're suddenly going to find some magic elixir that makes guys able to beat other guys. But I will say the ability to get some of these younger guys on the field now that Preston Smith is out the door, you know, that gives you some hope. You know, you saw Aaron Mosby, who was only played five snaps in that game against Detroit. But certainly made the most of those. I do think Brenton Cox Jr. showed real promise in this scheme this summer. He'll finally be able to hopefully get dressed. But most importantly, I think Kingsley Enagbare is the guy who benefits the most and should get the most opportunity. And more often than not, he's done a good job of winning some one-on-ones. Now, he hasn't piled up the sacks, but I do think there are mitigating circumstances there. Obviously, we talked about Lucas Van Ness a couple days ago. I'm fascinated to see what the second half of his season looks like. It certainly hasn't been promising early in the year, but you never know how guys are going to flourish and when they're going to turn it on. He's certainly still a very young player, learning a new defense, so we'll see how that kind of transpires here over the course of these next 8-9 games or so. But for me, Kingsley Enagbare is the key. The fact that he'll get more opportunities should bode well for the Packers. And there's no doubt they absolutely need Rashawn Gary to find another gear or find a gear at all. But as far as, you know, are they going to be able to do that instead of trying to dial up pressure? I think they're always going to be blitz dependent this season, simply because they need more horses up front. They need more talented, more able guys up front. I think they're going to continue to mix and match. I think you'll still see some simulated pressures, much like the stuff we saw against the Texans. I think you'll see all-out blitzes, things of that nature as well, but only sparingly. It's going to be undoubtedly on Halfley to create things because, again, I think you'll see a bit of an uptick due to the youth and more opportunities, but at some point you are who you are, and you're not just going to magically change that. So we'll see. We'll see as this year goes on. Abdul, thanks, buddy. Hey, Aaron, were you surprised to hear Preston say he wasn't fit for the new D? Do you think the same thing can be said for Gary? I'm reticent to say that for Gary simply because it's similar to what he was asked to do in college. Now, that said, no, I was not surprised to hear Preston say that simply because that's what we had been saying on the outside for a little bit here, given, you know, how he did not seem to be very productive, certainly didn't seem to be very active in that role as a defensive end rather than a stand-up edge rusher. I know everybody makes fun of the, oh, Preston cornerback one or whatever, but that was part of his game as far as at times they would, in the old system, drop him into coverage. And I think that helped him in the sense that teams really didn't know if he was coming or going. Now, obviously, majority of the time he's rushing the passer, but every once in a while, yeah, he's flipping his hips and he's getting upfield. I think it suits him. And I don't think being a 4-3 D end is the best fit for him. We saw this. It's kind of funny. I was thinking about this the other day, how, you know, when they switched from the 4-3 to the 3-4 back in the day, it was Aaron Kampman who was really out of place. And he ended up leaving. And looked, you know, he spent the last kind of years down in Jacksonville getting back to being a 4-3 end. I think this is kind of similar in that really older vet guy who has done one thing for so long, really not suited to now moving to the 4-3 from the 3-4. Hopefully he gets to Pittsburgh and plays in a much better kind of more comfort zone for him and is able to be productive his last few years in the league. Abdul, thanks again, man. Why does Jordan like 12, not like checkdowns? Why does Jordan like 12? I think you mean like similar to Aaron Rodgers, not like checkdowns. I don't think that's true at all. I think he has been actually pretty damn good and better about trying to get to his checkdowns. Hell, that's why he threw the pick six against Detroit. It's because he was trying to hit a checkdown. I don't agree with that at all. I think he's been much better, actually, this year over last year, scanning deep, working, you know, touchdown to checkdown, as the old saying goes. I think he's done a decent job in that regard. Now, you know, is it every play? No, but you don't want him checking down every play. You know, you don't want to become Derek Carr, but you want, you know, a guy who is able to go through his progressions and then know when to check it down. And I think, again, I think overall, I think he's done a pretty good job of that. Dennis, thanks, man. Chances we go undefeated? You mean for the rest of the way? Otherwise, I was going to say, buddy, I don't know if you've been watching, but there have been three losses. Chances they go undefeated for the rest of the way? Minimal. I think this is a really good team. And yes, they'll be able to beat anybody they face. But unless they start cleaning up these, you know, penalties and stop shooting themselves in the foot, and that, you know, the chances of that happening are dubious at best in my eyes, they're going to beat themselves at least once again down the stretch here. I hate to say it, but what evidence have we seen that this is going to turn around? Maybe the bye week does it, but I'm not holding my breath in that regard. Klaus, what's going on, man? Remember the retired players? Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. I will most certainly remember to put your past super chat into the Pro Football Retired Players Fund kind of bucket, and this one as well, Klaus. Thank you so much. William, thanks for the super chat, man. I know Gary gets piled on, but is he playing out of scheme as well? Random Packer, Marquez Anderson. Ooh, that's a deep pull. I like that one. And we talked about this a little bit ago. I mean, I think he's getting used to it. And I think there's certainly things that he's, you know, not done in a while. But again, coming out of college, he was doing a lot of this hand in the ground stuff. Maybe not strictly defensive end in a 4-3 predominantly. But I just don't think, especially as young as he is comparative to, you know, the average NFL career, especially compared to where Preston Smith is, I don't see that that should be a problem. Now, is the ability to win and trying to get off your stance as far as putting your hand in the dirt as opposed to standing up, is that maybe hampering him a little bit? Possibly. But something hopefully that he can learn as the season goes on and get better at. But yeah, I just don't think that it's, you know, oh, he can't play in this scheme. He's too good and too talented, way too athletic for that to be the case, in my eyes anyway. Steven, thanks, man. With all the division going on in our country, at least we can all come together on one major issue that the Bears still and will always suck. Yeah, Steven, I put it out there this morning. One of the fun parts about TikTok at the moment is every other video I get is seemingly Big Cat like being depressed about the Bears. It is absolutely brilliant. I mean, that algorithm is lethal and in the best possible way. Talk about knowing ways to cheer you up and get to your happy side. Yeah, the Bears are a mess, and we knew they would be. It's kind of fun. Abdul, thanks again, man. I know it's a physical game, but 23 injury prone. Woo, baby. It's hard for me to call any NFL player injury prone. You know, they're all injured. They're all playing hurt. It's a question of how bad is it? And look, I get it's frustrating because, A, they paid him, right? And he's a well-compensated individual. And it does get frustrating when he misses as many games as he does. But go back and watch the play where he gets hurt on in Jacksonville when he pulls up, and we all saw it, right? Like, it's pretty fluky, and it's not something where he's shying away from contact or trying not to be physical. You know, it's just a fluke thing where he steps the wrong way and all of a sudden he's hurt. I mean, that could happen to anybody at any time. I mean, look at Jordan Love hurting his groin down in Jacksonville on a rollout and just happens to throw it and then pop, there it is. He's hurt. Is Jordan Love injury prone because he's had two injuries this year? I don't know. You know, I get the frustration. I totally understand it, and especially because he's your best corner and he keeps missing big games. That's the more frustrating part. It's one thing to say, okay, yeah, we got to get through these games without Jair, but the fact that those games are against the Vikings and against the Lions, yeah, that's insanely frustrating. No question. Johnny Rivers, how you doing, man? Thanks for being a Care of the G Club member. I guarantee we will go undefeated the rest of the season. If I am wrong, I will make a donation to the PFRPA, then drink 22 Carry the G's. Random Packer, Chucky Nowerki. Okay, Johnny, here it is for everyone to see. 22 of them, huh? I'm down with that. Let's go. What's got? I'm complicated fella. I miss the political commercials. Not. Hey, I could always bring them back. I could run for something. Come on now. Christopher, that is fair, man. 23 talks a lot and don't play a lot. I mean, again, I get the frustration. I like how he talks, though. I know everyone's like a certain way about it. Like, some people getting their feelings about it. Some people don't like it. Whatever. I love it, man. I love it. He gets under people's skins. He's the kind of player that you love if he's on your team. You hate him if he's an opponent. I'm glad he's a Packer, and I love the way he talks. Now, I'd very much like him to play more, but that's not in my control. Jeezy Baby, what's up, man? What do I do with my weekend with no Packers? I watch Chelsea take on Arsenal. That's what I'm doing. Other than that, I don't know, spend time with your family, go outside, see a movie, maybe, go to a museum. All of these things are available to you. Or you can do what I'm going to do on Sunday and just plop down on a sofa and watch NFL football all day without any kind of stress about whether your team is going to win or lose. I'm in that mode. High powered. Thanks for the super chat, man. I really wish Daytone Jones was that guy. Random Packer, Daytone Jones. Hey, never forget, when they let Daytone Jones walk, his final season in Green Bay, he hit the quarterback more than any other player on the team. True story. Go look it up. More pressures, more quarterback hits. The man affected the pocket, affected the passer, did his job. I know we were all hoping Daytone would be a bit better, a bit more of a star, but he was a good player, man. I think people forget how good a player he was. Was he great? No, but he was a good football player. Abdul, thanks again, man. Woo, we got New York City. Hear it out the window there. What is more fixable, INTs, penalties, or drops? Oh, man, what more fixable of the three? Of those three, I'd say probably the interceptions. We saw this, stretch that Jordan went on towards the end of last season where he never put the ball in jeopardy and didn't throw interceptions. I think we can get him there again. The penalties, as I was talking about before, man, I don't think this is a team that's going to suddenly figure it out. I see a real sloppy team that is error prone and has focus issues. And I haven't seen anything to suggest that that's just going to suddenly disappear. As far as the drops, that's fixable as well. Although that also is a focus thing, you know. These guys can catch the ball. We've seen them do it. They all know how. They're all really good receivers. And I say pass catchers because the tight ends are involved in this too. But that's a focus thing as well. So of those three, I would say the interceptions, definitely. TKM, good to see you at your post, man. Johnny, I am not unconvinced that Daytone Jones, Mike Neal, and Nick Perry were all the same guy. Yeah, well, you could tell Nick Perry was different because he had the club. That was pretty much the deciding figure there. Matthew says, going to miss those strip sacks from Preston Smith, but it totally makes sense. Yeah, it does. And I know it's funny to see people try and compare it to the Rasul Douglas trade last year. It's nothing like that at all. Like, that one hurt. This one ain't going to hurt at all. Champy, thanks to the super chat. Best team followed by fall. Lions, best team followed by, I don't know, we know what that means. NFC North, overrated. NFC North is overrated? You mean the division with all, well, would have been all except for now the Bears screwed it up, but all winning teams except for the Bears who always sucked? I don't know, man. I don't know. I mean, I get it. The Lions are good. There's no question about it. The Vikings, they're having their annual slide, but they're still a good football team. And the Packers, hell, they beat themselves when they played the Lions. They're 6-3. Yeah, that's a good football team. Yes, the division with the easiest schedule. Yes, that division. Well, that's good, Champy. I'll see you back here in December when the Packers have run, you know, to like 10, 11, 12 wins, facing the toughest schedule in the NFL from here on out. That's the truth. So, you know, let's keep the energy up, huh? Shall we? I'll see you back here in a couple months. All right, bet. Cards are better except everyone except the Lions. Did you see how the Packers whooped up on the Cardinals? I don't know. You probably like Rip Van Winkle that one, but the Packers demolished the Cardinals. And I don't want to hear any excuses about injuries. Everybody's hurt. The Packers were just better because they are better. I mean, I know the Cards beat up on the Bears. Woo-hoo, big win there. Kid, don't come in here talking your junk if you're going to say stupid stuff. Come on. This is a chat for grown-ups. Halfley's results are pretty impressive considering the personnel doesn't fully fit the scheme. Yeah, right. There was always going to be some of that, right? And I do think there are certain kind of aspects to the defensive personnel that are very clearly still in flux. I mean, the A number one spot you can kind of circle as linebacker, right? They got a bunch of guys who can play Will, some guys who can play Sam. They don't have a true Mike to save their life, but they keep having to roll guys in and out of there, whether it is Quay Walker, Eric Wilson, hell, even Edrin Cooper. Like, none of those guys should be playing Mike in the NFL, yet they have to because that's what they've got, right? And I also think up front, you know, I remember asking Halfley about TJ Slayton this summer, and he dismissed it, but, you know, that's not the type you want in this defense traditionally. What, you know, if you're looking at what this scheme has been run in New York here with the Jets, or out in San Francisco, or down in Houston with the Texans, like, that's the kind of TJ Slayton's kind of big body type is not what you traditionally want, you know? And I do think as the years go along, they will kind of funnel that and get better types, so to speak, both at linebacker, at defensive line, etc. But when you're making a switch, you're always going to be juggling a little bit. I mean, that's what the Packers had to do when they switched to a 3-4 all those years ago. Now, it helped that they had the two draft selections in B.J. Raji and Clay Matthews to help with that transition. But it's always going to be kind of multi-year to make that wide of a turn, you know? And I know Brian gets up there and talks about all of the, these guys are real versatile. And yeah, it is true, but there's certainly aspects to their game that are better suited to certain things, right? And right now, yeah, they're in a transitional period on that side of the ball. There's zero doubt about it. Christopher, I very much agree with this. Packers have the ability to become something so special, but too many mistakes need to be cleaned up. That's my kind of overarching thing here heading into the bye week. You know, we can talk about what they need to do and the self-scout and all of those things, but ultimately it comes down to the players doing it. The coaches can talk about it so much. They can try and come up with ways to get that message through, but ultimately it's the guys making the mistakes that have to do it. And it's easy if it's one guy or two guys, because then you can maybe juggle your roster, your depth chart a little bit, what have you. But, man, it is everybody on both sides of the ball at any time. So it becomes real difficult if you're a coach to sit here and say, well, I got to get so-and-so out of there. Well, yeah, but you're putting another guy in there and he's doing the same thing, essentially. So that's pretty tough. Abdul, thanks, man. Do you think Ford can make a difference this season? I think he could be in there as a rotational guy. He certainly had his best training camp this past summer. And I do think, you know, he could offer them something in certain games against opponents who want to maybe button it up and be a little bit more physical and try and run the ball. Say, you know, when the 49ers come to town in a couple weeks, I think that's the type of game where you might see him elevated from the practice squad. I don't think he's ever going to be a regular member of the rotation, but I do think, yeah, he could offer them something in some of the more kind of physical games against teams that want to traditionally run the ball a little bit more. But I think that would make a world of sense. I can't wait to see what Marshawn Lloyd can do when he gets back. Prolific, I hear you. And that was a tease from Brian the other day. What was it, yesterday? 2 days ago, when he talked about, you know, the fact that they do have an open roster spot after the trade, and there's a chance that Marshawn Lloyd could be activated off of IR. Here's hoping, because he was electric as hell at practice this summer. I think you could really see why the Packers liked him so much. Want to get him out on the field. Obviously, he'll be brought along slowly. He's got to prove that he can do it in pass pro. He's got to show he can hold on to the ball. That was a big bugaboo in college, and we've seen him put it on the carpet a couple times already this year. So I don't think it's going to be, you know, force feeding him by any stretch of the imagination, but you do like his promise. The potential is certainly there. Johnny, thanks again, man. The Packers have three NFL head coaches on the staff now with the addition of Saleh. If that doesn't correct bad fundamentals, isn't it a little damning? Yes and no. Again, it's down to the players. I mean, I get, man, like, coaches have to like do everything in their power to correct things, right? Including fundamentals. I will say, though, I'm not too concerned about fundamentals. That's actually not been terrible for the most part, as far as what they're doing down in and down out after the snap of the whistle. The occasional holding call, yes, that's football. I don't think that's been egregious. It's the pre-snap stuff that absolutely drives you mad. And that's not anything to do with a guy who's been a head coach, he's been a coordinator, whatever. That's on the players. They got to fucking concentrate. Like Matt has said a couple of times now, you know, they want their cadence to be a weapon. Well, it's hard to make it a weapon when guys are continuously jumping, moving, flinching. Got to focus. That's just focus. And I don't know how you fix that as a coach. Jerry, how are you? Thanks for the super chat. Was in Melbourne for a Coldplay show and planned my departure for Monday so as not to miss the game. Then found out they played on Monday morning at 8:30 a.m. Oh, Jerry. Sorry to hear that. But hopefully the Coldplay show will be amazing. I've seen them once and it was a pretty damn good show. Hopefully we'll see you at happy hour in an hour or so. Sky on the Rocks, thank you for the super sticker. Appreciate you. Ed, thank you for the super chat, man. Wire up their shoes and give Matt a clicker so that if anyone commits a penalty, they get 220 for a few seconds. Yeah, I don't think torture is allowed by the CBA, but that's a inventive way to try and go about it. No doubt about it. All right, buddy, I'm going to have to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. As I just said, happy hour at 6 Eastern, 5 Central. Coming up, the information is on the Patreon page, here on the community tab if you're a Carry the G member. We'll see you then. In the meantime, please hit like, hit subscribe, tell your friends, tell your family. Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.